It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, what a great day it is to be living for the Lord. We want to continue our study today in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to start with chapter 4. And I would remind you that the best way to live this life is living it for the Lord. There's only one way to be happy in this life, and that is serving Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And when I look at this, the first thing that catches my eye here is the word prisoner. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul uses the same words here. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now, if you remember, Paul the Apostle was a Jew, and he started his ministry by preaching to the Jews, and eventually the Lord took Paul the Apostle and took him aside, I suppose, and spoke to him and said, "Now, the gospel is not only for the Jewish people, but it is also for the Gentiles." So therefore, Paul the Apostle became a minister to the Gentiles. Now, that doesn't mean that he stopped preaching the gospel to the Jews. That simply means that he was preaching to everyone who had a breath in them. He was ready and willing to tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, I keep reading and looking at this word prisoner in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Once again, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And I think also of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. It says there, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." Paul once again refers to himself as the prisoner of the Lord. He goes on in that verse, 2 Timothy 1:8, and says, "But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now, there was only one way that Paul the Apostle could be a prisoner of the Lord, and that was to know him as Savior. And that's the way we are today. The only way that we can serve God is by knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul the Apostle, of course, was, I believe, a man among men who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that he was a bodybuilder, a weightlifter, or something like that. That means that he was able to go forth into the power of God. He was the prisoner of the Lord. He was ready to do whatever God wanted him to do in this life. Now, in Philemon, in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says this. He says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." Now here, Paul the Apostle once again calls himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philemon chapter 1 and verse 9 goes on to say, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged," he's speaking of himself here, "and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul the Apostle considered himself in bonds. Well, why would Paul be a prisoner? In other words, in bonds for the Lord. Now, I believe Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13, as it says here, "So that my bonds," this is the reason, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." I can read the Word of God, and I can see how that Paul the Apostle was used of the Lord to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It made no difference where he was at. It made no difference that he was in bonds, and many times he was in chains. In Philemon chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Many people were won to the Lord because Paul the Apostle was not only what we would consider a prisoner of the Lord in such a way that he had to do what he had to do because he felt the great need of serving God. It was like being a prisoner of the Lord. But keep this in mind, he was also in reality. Much of his life after he got saved, much of his life, he was a prisoner of this world, of the people that would place him in actual bonds, in chains. He was a prisoner for the Lord. He was in bonds for the Lord. For what reason? To win souls. Now, I want to go back to Philemon chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I think of the many times of the places that I read, how that Paul the Apostle was in chains, actual chains, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ, the goodness of Jesus Christ. Philemon 1:13 again says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me. This, he's speaking of Onesimus here, that he could have ministered unto me in the bonds of what? Of the gospel. The gospel constrains people to give out the word of God. The gospel is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that Jesus saves. The gospel is the good news that Jesus can save anyone, and that anyone means you, and it means me. And of course, I have been saved because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So the gospel is the good news to me, and I pray that it has been good news to you, and that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I know that Paul the Apostle, he was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because he considered himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could do nothing else but to preach and teach the word of God. And I pray that you and I will be as Paul the Apostle, in the sense that we are ready and willing to proclaim Jesus Christ, no matter where we're at, who we're around, and what we're doing, but we're able to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I would never consider myself to be on the same level as Paul the Apostle, but I do consider myself to be saved, and so does Jesus Christ. So that gives me the authority to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just as Paul the Apostle did. And verse 2 of Ephesians, the Bible says, there with all lowliness. Now, remember, Paul the Apostle considered himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 1 with verse 2 here. It says, Paul speaking, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And I remind you, he's speaking not only to an individual or to us as an individual, but he's speaking to the church here at Ephesus. And he's speaking to the churches today, men and women who make up the body of Christ. He's speaking to us who make up a local church, and we represent Jesus Christ. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, I see the word, the words there, with all lowliness. I think many times we think of ourselves too highly. Now, we are saved, we're on our way to heaven, but that does not make us better than anyone else. We're just better off. So we should never think of ourselves more highly than we should. And Paul the Apostle uses the terms here, with all lowliness. And my mind automatically goes to Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, where it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, Paul the Apostle here, once again, he's telling us what was taking place in his life. But you notice here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And this tells me that the mind is accompanied with, the verse says, accompanied with many tears and temptations. It seemed like when one thing came along to cause Paul the Apostle trouble, that there were other things that came into play as well. We see, when we serve God, the devil wants to throw everything he can at us. He wants to stop the gospel from going forth. Now, he can't stop the gospel. He can't stop the good news that Jesus Christ saves, that Jesus Christ is willing to save anyone who would come to him. But he can He can throw roadblocks up to try and slow down the person who is giving out the gospel. Remember, the gospel can never be stopped, but the person who's giving out the gospel can be slowed down. And sometimes, unfortunately, that person who's giving out the gospel, who's ready and willing, they can be stopped. Now, I don't believe the devil stops them. I believe they stop themselves because of maybe the what Paul's talking here with tears, maybe the tears, maybe the things of this world gets the person down, and temptations. Maybe this would slow a person down and even bring them to a point of stopping serving God. But Paul the Apostle says, serving the Lord with all humility in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He didn't stop. He kept moving on. And we need to look to the apostle, to Paul, and to the others that we read of in the Bible who did not stop, but they kept on going on for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Remember the terms here that Paul used in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4, with all lowliness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, I see this word meekness, and I see Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And when I read these verses, it puts me in the mind, and it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. And before we look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, back in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, the verse that we're studying right now, notice the word forbearing. This means tolerating with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, or tolerating one another in love. Paul the Apostle, I believe, is letting people know in the local church that we need to tolerate each other. Sometimes we get to a point where we look at another individual in the church and they, well, can I use the term, they get to us. They do something that maybe we don't like. They do something or say something that is against what we think is right. But we need to be long-suffering. We need to tolerate our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Maybe they're not as in the Word as we are. Maybe they haven't grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that later on in this chapter. Maybe they just do not know everything that we know. And maybe we just don't know everything they know. So we need to be with lowliness of mind, and we need to tolerate one another, forbearing one another in love, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. This is that word tolerating again, I believe, is what it's saying here. Tolerate one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, God loves you today, and I want you to know that He's waiting for you. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, He's waiting for you to call upon Him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you today. I need you to save me so I can go to heaven and see you one day, and thank you personally for saving my soul. Won't you turn to Him today and turn from the way that you've been going and decide you're going to go God's way and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. Ask Him to come into your heart, and He'll save you today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.